My name is Rick Burton, and I have the honor and blessing of being able to share with you the scripture today. It comes from the Gospel of Luke, the first chapter, verses 5 through 23. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all of the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside, praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. But the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
What is it that you fear? What is it that you fear today? Is it spiders? Is it snakes? Is it the fear of heights? Or is it the fact that we might be on short supply because of the supply demand for how many Christmas presents we're going to have this year? What is it that you fear? Maybe it's you've seen something of God, or maybe God has spoken to you today. Maybe in the past God has spoken to you, and you were in fear, you were trembling, and you were scared about what you had for your life. My name's Keith Arkham. I'm your lead pastor here at Palm Harbor, and we are in a middle of a series for Do Not Fear. And we've been talking about the kind of things we see in our Bibles which have caused us fear. The disciples were scared when they thought they seen a ghost on the water in Galilee when it was actually Jesus. Last week we were talking about Martha and how she was just in fear about the atmosphere at the tomb when her brother was going to be brought back to life. This week, we are talking about the fear of angels. And next week, we'll talk about visions and bones coming together and strange things that we see in the night. I was scared. I was overwhelmed with fear. I was nervous. I was unsure about what was going to come next. It was a tangential moment in my life. My life went a different direction from this particular moment. I've been serving in the Navy for a while, in the Royal Navy, and our ship had pulled into this little island called Puerto Rico, you know it? And in Puerto Rico, at this particular place, was a little naval base called Rosie Roads. And the ship pulled in there, and the fellowship, the people on board the ship that I was with, about six people, decided to go to church that day, and somebody gave us hospitality. And with us was a young man named Dave Gator. Now, Dave Gator had been asking about what is God teaching me today. He would ask him, he wasn't really sure whether he really wanted to follow God or not. And he started asking us, the people in the fellowship, and this small group of people who were together, like, what does it mean to follow God? So we kind of joined our group of people. And we were walking through the beautiful rainforest and around the area. And we were just chatting about what his life was going on in his life. And he said he and his wife and kids were going to church. And we kind of had a common bond. We were both young fathers at the time. And we talked about children and how hard it was to bring up children and all those kind of things. And he said that him and his wife were going to church when the ship was back home and he was off the ship. And he said he was struggling at sea between following what God would want for his life and being a sailor. I'll let you fill in there what you think that might be. And I said, you know, at some point in your life, you know, you can't always have, you know, one foot in one place and one foot another. Eventually, you're going to have to decide which way that will be for you. And the rest of the people agreed, and we let that simmer for a while, and the ship went back home, and we went on leave for 2 weeks, and we kind of just left it. I didn't talk about it for a while. I didn't text them. No phones back then. You know, I just let it there, let it simmer. And after being at home for 2 weeks, everybody came back on board, and there was a bustle, just people walking everywhere, people walking up and down the main drag of the ship all the time. There's a great passageway that goes right through the entire ship, and it's just a really busy road on the ship. And Dave came up to me in the passageway, and he says, Keith, I've got something to tell you. So, what's this? He says, Keith, I talked to my wife, and we decided to follow Jesus all the time. I'm like, yes! I never forget that moment because at that particular moment, I was a little scared. I was a little scared, a little overwhelmed with fear because I had this moment where I realized my life was going to go tangentially in a different way. I realized that I really liked this moment and I was going to live for this moment for the rest of my life. I was a little scared. It was almost like there was an angel there talking to me, an angel there proclaiming to me, Keith, this is what you're going to do from now on. And my life went in an entirely different direction. I don't know where Dave is today, but I know that God used this little nobody to be a vessel of grace so that he can understand who Jesus was. And he started to follow Jesus after that. I was overwhelmed. I mean, I was scared. I was nervous that what was going to happen next. And that's where we are in our text today. One of the most pivotal moments in history appeared to a priest in Jerusalem. This is the moment when the priest goes into the temple. This was the moment when the priest goes into the temple, Zechariah of all people, and he encounters an angel, and is in fear and overwhelmed at what is going to happen next in his life. And normally, when an angel appears, they normally say, "Do not fear." Because there's something coming up. Something crazy is going to happen next. Something that we are overwhelmed with. Something that we can't control. Something that you just can't imagine that God would do next through you. And this is where we are in our text today. If you have your Bible with you, just open it. And if you've got an app on your phone, just open that. If you're online, open up another tab and follow along in the text. And we're going to display it here too, but just follow along because you might see something different you've never seen before. We're in the beginning of Luke, the very first part of Luke, and it's talking about the birth of John the Baptizer. Verse 5, when Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah. His wife, Elizabeth, was from a priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. Now, this sets up the story for the kind of people that we're dealing with. Zechariah was a priest from the clan of Abijah. Abijah was one of the eight clans of priests, the eight orders of priests that came from the exile, came back from Babylon. So this was like an important clan of people. And he did right in the eyes of the Lord. And Zechariah was blessed because he got a wife, Elizabeth, who was descended from a good tribe, from a great order of priests, none other than Aaron. So these two people had great lineage. They had great family background. And they were righteous in the eyes of the Lord. God thought they were righteous, and the people thought they were righteous. Now, in ancient thought, if God thought you were righteous and the people thought you were righteous, then you would be blessed with children in bounty. These people were 80 years old, and they had no children yet. These people were righteous in God's sight, and everybody else is like, I don't know why these guys haven't got any kids. I don't know why God hasn't blessed these people with children. Like, what did they do wrong? So that sets us up for the kind of people that we are dealing with. These people were righteous in God's sight. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week, as was the custom of the priests. He was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside waiting. So this tribe, this clan, this order of priests was on their duty. It was their week of duty. Now, the orders had 2 weeks a year when their particular people could do the duties in the temple. It was a big deal. It was a big deal to get your duty week, and you look forward to it, and you're really excited about it. But there was way too many priests. There were way too many pastors, amen? There were way too many priests to do all the things that are around. Way too many priests that to do the things inside the temple. But everybody wanted to swing the incense. everybody wanted to come behind the altar and do the thing. And they had all the religious furniture set up, and you'd get the incense, and everybody wanted to do this. But it was impossible for everybody to get a turn. So they cast lots. For you and I, it was rock, paper, scissors. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Rock, paper, scissors. And lo and behold, Zechariah got the job of ministering the presence of God by doing the incense. Zechariah was like, yes, I get to do that. It's my week of duty. Everybody else has got the normal jobs. And I get to go and light the incense. I go to look for God. I go to listen to God. And I get to deliver the message to the people who are waiting outside. Yes. So Zechariah is excited. Zechariah is remembering his priestly training. He's like, I'm going to go into the altar. I got to make sure I set this up. All the religious furniture's got to be set up. Make sure this is in this right place. Get this going. And I remember, I know my priestly training. So I'll get this all set up. Gets himself ready for what's going to happen next. So he burns the incense, and a great crowd of people is waiting outside. They are waiting to hear the message that God is going to give to them. So they're in Jerusalem. They're in the temple. They're inside the temple. They are in the holy place. Zechariah has gone inside the Holy of Holies. And they are outside the Holy of Holies waiting for a message from God. Waiting for confirmation that Israel is righteous in God's sight. They're waiting for a message from Yahweh. Everything is good. Continue on in the way you are going. And they're waiting outside for Zechariah's message. He is the vessel of God. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, so we're on verse 10, 11. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him. The angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife, Elizabeth, will have a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth. For he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or any other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." So, Zechariah goes into the temple in his priestly way. He goes in. He's got a new robe on. He's all clean. He's prepared. He's ready to do the job that he's called to do. And he's got the incense going. There's incense coming up here like this. And all of a sudden, to the right of him, in the south of the temple, an angel appears. "What do you want? I'm doing my duty here." An angel appears. An angel appears and says to him, "I've got 16 things to say to you. I've got 16 things to say to you about how your life is going to change tangentially. I've got 16 things to say to you that's going to absolutely transform the way you live your life from now on." An angel. What is an angel? Let's double click on the angel. What does that mean? An angel is a messenger from God. Somebody who serves God. They're not born or they don't die. They are here, present. They are a person who declares the voice of God, who declares a message, somebody who supports Christ. Normally, they are male, tall and mighty, people who are scary kind of people. And they appear to announce good news. They appear when what's happening in heaven and what's happening in earth collide. And when it says, oh, what's going on right now? This is a moment. This angel in our our Bibles, it's mentioned 210 times in the Old Testament and 80 times in the New Testament. We should do a series on angels. Angels appeared and made an announcement about something massive that was going to happen. And this guy standing to the right of the altar, he's number two in the whole order of angels. Michael's number one, and Gabriel is number two. Gabriel, when he comes and when he shows up, yeah, you better be listening. Something's coming down the track. Something's coming that's going to make sure that your life is going to collide with God's, and your life's going to go in a different direction. So the priest, the vessel of God's love, the vessel of God's message, is met by an angel. He's met by an angel, and he says to him, you are going to have a son. Now, the priest is in there looking for the message from God for the people of Israel outside the temple. And the angel answers whose prayer? Zechariah's prayer. Zechariah and Elizabeth had this longing in their lives for years that they would have a child. And Gabriel says, yeah, not Israel's prayers are answered. Not anybody else waiting outside prayers are answered. Your prayers are answered. Your prayers are answered, and you're going to have a child, and his name will be John, which means the Lord is gracious. The Lord is gracious to you, Zechariah, no matter how old you are, no matter how, whatever you've done in your past, no matter whether you're spinning the incense, no matter whether you're outside the temple, no matter whether you're outside of Jerusalem, the Lord is gracious, amen? And his grace is overwhelming for Zechariah as he's standing at the altar, playing with the furniture, making sure the religious furniture's all in order, making sure it smells right, his robe looks okay, adjusting his stole. And he says 16 things to him. Your wife's going to be so happy. You're going to rejoice. Your wife's going to be happy. The people around you are going to be happy. He's going to bring great joy to the people. He's going to prepare people for the new way of God. In fact, he's going to say some things that's going to tick some people off, but it's going to prepare people for the way of Jesus. And the angel speaks mightily to this vessel, to this priest. What does Zechariah say? Says to the angel, how can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years. And the angel said, I'm Gabriel. What does that sound like? I am Gabriel. Whoa. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you didn't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time. So he's standing at the altar. He's standing in the very place where God is speaking, and God is speaking. I'll say it again. He's standing at the very place where they expect God to speak, and God is speaking, and what does he say? I don't believe you. I don't believe you. I don't believe that you're saying the right thing. He said, and Gabriel's like, I'm Gabriel. I'm like the messenger. In fact, I'm not one, I'm number two. But I'm going to give you the message. This is the thing. This is the thing that's going to change your direction of your life. And he's like, I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I'm old and she's old, which I never say that, by the way. I never say she's old. So just don't do that, man in the house. Don't say that. But he said it. There's no way this can happen. There's just no way that this can happen in our lives. I don't believe you. He says, you don't believe? You don't believe you came in the temple to hear the voice of God? You came in the temple to seek what God would want for your life? You came into the temple, into the most holy place? You arrange yourself in Jerusalem. You're a priest in the order of Abijah. You lived through the exile. Your people are on duty today, this week, in the temple. You've gone into the holy place. You've gone into the holy place. You're standing at the very altar where you proclaim that God speaks and you don't believe. You're going to be quiet. You're going to be quiet then for 9 months. You're going to be quiet until John is born into this world, and you're not going to speak. This very person's existence is to speak. He is to speak the words of the Lord. He is a priest. He has designed his entire life so that he would speak for Yahweh, and now he can't speak. Not for 9 minutes, not for 9 hours, not for 9 days, for 9 months. My wife dreams of these kind of things. My wife would just like if I stopped talking after 10 o'clock at night. Nine months, and you're not going to speak. God, in the Gospels, is always silencing the priestly voice so that the prophetic voice can be heard. And he silences the priestly voice. He silenced the religious people. He silences the pastors. So the prophetic voice will rise up. He says, you're going to have a prophet that's going to come from your wife's womb. She's not going to be in any particular order. He's not going to be any particular priest, but he's going to proclaim. He's going to be a prophet. Meanwhile, everyone's outside. The people are waiting outside. They're waiting for Zechariah to come out to the sanctuary, wondering why he's taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. And when Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. So the people are outside waiting for a message from God, waiting for a message from Yahweh. Are we doing okay? Does God still look on us graciously? Where the heck is he? It normally doesn't take that long for the sermon to be over. Finally, comes out, and they get this new game that they've never seen before, charades, right? He's like, and from his actions, they're able to understand that something massive has happened. That he's a vision. He's had a vision from God. And like never before, this priest hears from God. He hears it from an angel. He hears it from Gabriel. And he says, you're going to know the grace of God. You're going to have a son, which says God is gracious. His very name means God is gracious. And this is going to change the tangent of your life forever. This is going to change the very way that you live your life from now on. We gather together. We get together in a space. We arrange things. We arrange our religious furniture. We sit in spaces and we ask that God would fill these spaces. We carefully align our services so that something will come and something will speak to somebody. We arrange our music. Our musicians rehearse together so that we can sing something that's beautiful for us to sing. Our people sit on cameras and lights and sound so that we can hear the voice of God. And then when we gather and we proclaim them, then we go out from here and we tell everybody else what's happened in our life. life, and we say, Lord, speak to us, because we are dying to hear from you. We're outside the Holy of Holies listening for you, and I can't hear you. And we say, God, speak to us through something. Speak to us through an angel. And then God speaks. God speaks to us. God visions us, and we're in fear. And we're in fear because we are concerned that we can't do this by ourselves. And the angel comes to us and says, yeah, even though you're 80, even though you're old, even though you're young, even though you haven't been in a while, even though so-and-so did this in your family, even though you heard about this thing that so-and-so did, even though all that, I want you to do something greater, amen? And God wants to do something massive in your life today. God wants to appear to you with an angel. God appeared to me. I didn't see an angel, but it sure felt like it. God wants to appear to you today and stand next to you while you're doing all your religious services, while you're doing all your religious stuff, while you're doing the trunk or treat, while you're spinning your incense, and you're trying to hear from the voice of God. He wants to speak to you dramatically through the voice of Gabriel. Listen, do not fear. Do not fear the voice of God. God's going to come to you. God's going to speak to you and say, I want you to do this from now on. I want you to listen to the voice of God. Some of you here today are dying to hear from God. Some of you here today would love a message from on high. Some of you would like to hear from Gabriel, from Michael. Some of you would just like a comfort, a reassurance, like the people waiting outside the Holy of Holies. Just tell us, God, tell us of your grace. And God wants to speak to you today. He wants to speak to you in a moment when heaven, what's happening in heaven and happening on earth, meet together. And he wants to speak to you and say to you, you are going to go on a different tangent from now on. Your life is going to live to serve me, not because of where you've descended from, not because of the kind of priestly order that you're in, because I want your prophetic voice to rise out. Today, do not fear. Do not fear the angels, because they will proclaim when heaven and earth meet in your life. Amen.